All right, time for Fast Track. We do this every day. I throw questions at Ramona. She throws them at me. They don't necessarily have to do with sports. You can ask anything you want. And we always start with a ceremonial coin flip. All right, Ramona, call it. Heads, the Dodgers, even though they don't have Cody Bellinger and they don't have Mookie Betts, will continue to roll people this week. They play the Rockies and the Padres. Tails, the injuries catch up to them.
I'm going to say heads. I think they continue to roll people.
Tails it is. Tails.
Tails. All right. That means it's my turn. I will defer, Ramona. No advantage comes with that. You go first.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right. The Arizona Cardinals added much-needed depth in the backfield Tuesday when they agreed to terms on a one-year contract for former Pittsburgh Steelers running back James Conner. Is this a bigger deal for the Cardinals or the Steelers?
I don't understand what the Steelers are doing. Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, they basically... they didn't have a running game last year at all. They're keeping Big Ben. They have good wideouts, but what, I mean.
No, it makes sense. They don't want to pay James Conner, so now they're going to draft Najee Harris on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
Right.
That makes sense. And Najee Harris is probably a better running back.
But they might, Michael, don't they need linemen to protect Najee Harris?
You can find a lineman, second, third, fourth round, you know, I mean, but if you, skill positions, man, that's what I would always look for to try to draft. Big, really high. That's like this guy, Kyle Pitts.
Right.
I was listening to
this. Yeah, yeah.
This guy's like,
player in the draft.
This guy's like a Randy Moss, a tight end. And if you can got and you can get a player like that, because they were talking about just should Jerry Jones trade up to get him, and they were all poo-pooing that, saying, no, Jerry Jones need an offensive lineman. I go, are you kidding me? When you got a game changer like Kyle Pitts, you go for that.
Well, and Michael, think about it. Travis Kelce last year caught more passes than any wide receivers
right. Did.
I mean, that's if you can get a weapon like that at tight end or George Kittle.
They said Kyle Pitts is the best player in this draft, regardless of position.
Yeah,
so
if
you're the Cowboys, trade up to get that guy. He's special.
Ramona, to me, it says more about the Steelers and the Cardinals. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are getting interesting, right? Now you're starting to get Kyler Murray.
I think it's the best division in football now.
I'm looking at the going, man, that – the Rams are getting good. The Seahawks, they still have some issues to work through. But
the Niners are going to be better
this year, too. The Niners are going to be better.
How about the Niners passing up Justin Fields for Mac Jones?
Michael,
careful. I might be asking you something about that later.
All right. But by the way, I can't. I don't believe they're going to do that.
They can't be doing that. Yeah, they cannot be serious, as John McEnroe would say.
Yeah. Okay. It's to me. All right. Here's my draft question. As one of the top offensive lineman in this year's NFL draft class, former Ohio State star Wyatt Davis was one of the few prospects to receive an invitation to the live draft in Cleveland. But according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, the Buckeyes offensive guard has reportedly declined the invitation. Davis will participate virtually at home with his family. Ramona, if you were a top prospect, would you attend the draft in person or stay home with your family and friends?
Interesting.
They treat you like a queen if you go to the draft. You stay in a suite.
I know they do.
Oh, you get the best of food.
I know, and you really only get one chance at that.
Michael, did Clay go to the draft?
Yeah, Clay went to the draft, and he wanted to go. He wanted to experience it, and it was cool. It was a nice experience being in the sitting in a green room waiting to get drafted. But if I was,
what's he gonna do at home again? Sorry, go ahead.
No, he's just going to sit at home and you know, have like a party with family and friends.
If I was coming out now and the NBA invited me, I'd stay home in the Bahamas and have my friends and family around.
Michael, I would too, because I never want to be the Aaron Rodgers. I never want to be like the last guy sitting in the room, and you would just feel like the biggest loser.
But if you're a high pick, like say Trevor Lawrence is going to stay home with his family. He's not going.
Trevor Lawrence isn't going to the draft.
Nope, he's
going to
stay home and celebrate with his family and friends and teammates. So I like that. I like that. That's cool.
I like it too. So to me, I would want to celebrate with my family and friends. And usually, they let your family and friends come with you, right? They sit at the table.
But you can't.
Well, weird thing is, this kid went to Ohio State, and the draft is in Cleveland. Lindsay, how far is Columbus from Cleveland?
True.
Well, that's about 2 hours.
I mean, that's nothing. Get in the car and get over there.
Yeah, but if you can stay home with your family and maybe grandma and grandpa and celebrate with you, I think that's more important.
All right, Ramona, it's to you.
Okay, well, I guess we're having lots of NFL draft questions today. So the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport was on the other day, and he reported that the Jaguars are so sure they're taking Trevor Lawrence, they've spent their time on their Zoom calls with him. You know, you're only allowed to have a certain number of Zooms. giving him the playbook and they're talking to him about plays as if he's already a member of the Jaguars. Guys, is this going to be – is he that good of a quarterback? Is he that transcendent that they should be number one, no doubt about it, you're the guy?
They say he is – remember how John Elway was a can't miss and then Andrew Luck was the next can't miss? And Andrew Luck – they both proved out to be that. Andrew Luck was a stud. He just couldn't stay healthy. But, yeah, they say this guy is the next Elway or Andrew Luck.
Roman, I'll tell you an interesting story. So I used to do a radio show with Jim Mora, not the UCLA coach, but his dad, who was the coach of the, by the way, one of the great guys of all time. You just, I learned more doing that one day a week show with Jim in 3 years about the NFL than in any other job I've ever had. He taught me a ton. So he told me this story once that the Colts had the number one pick in 1998. And they were trying to decide between Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. And it's funny because I now know Ryan and I play golf with him and I'm friends with him. I've never asked him about this story. But so they asked Peyton, hey, Peyton, you're going to be either the first or second pick in the draft. You're going to have millions of dollars. What's the first thing you're going to do with the money? And it was Manning's answer that won over the Colts and got them to take him. He said, guys, I'll make plenty of money. I'm not worried about the money, but I have a favor to ask you. And they called, kind of looked at each other and they went, you want to ask us something? He said, yes. He goes, you're either going to draft me or Ryan Leaf. And he looked at Bill Polian and he said, Bill, you know, my dad, I swear on my family's life that if you give me the playbook when I leave here today, I will study it. I'll learn it backwards and forwards. And if you don't take me, if you take Ryan, I will never tell a soul what I learned in the book. I won't even tell my team or my coaches. I swear to God, I won't. And they went, wow. So you want to start studying the plays now? And he goes, yeah. He goes, if I get a head start and I come in here, if you draft me and I come in here on the first day and I already know the plays, we'll hit the ground running. And they were so impressed with him. Not only did they give him the playbook, but he walked out of the room and they went, okay, that's our guy.
What did Ryan say he'd do with the money?
I don't know. I got to ask Ryan. I mean, but it wasn't that. Like Ryan said, I think it wasn't anything like super incriminating. It was something along the lines of, well, I think I would spend the money on and celebrate with my offensive lineman who took care of me when I was at Washington State.
He probably said, Vegas, baby.
And do something with them. Yeah, but I'll ask him next time I talk to him. Okay, it's to me. Yeah. All right. According to more than 30,000 people who were surveyed, 46% of Americans who were polled prefer Dwayne The Rock Johnson as the next celebrity candidate to run for president of the United States. This poll was conducted from April 2nd through the 4th with people 18 and older, according to the New York Post. The 48-year-old Johnson previously said he would be open to running for president if that's what the people wanted. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor of California. Donald Trump was president. I think a lot of people think this might be a joke, but I think I would consider voting for The Rock. How about you guys?
Woo. I don't know. Okay.
You'd have a lot of great campaign slogans, that's for sure. Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Yeah.
That's right.
I actually think he's a really smart guy. I think he's a good guy, too. I think I would trust him to do, you know, the right thing, or at least not, you know, do the wrong thing.
Right. Well, the job of president is primarily a figurehead. It depends on who
it's
you
delivering
surround yourself
the lines,
with.
Especially
right,
if you
right.
deliver the lines well, and he would certainly do that. He's a good actor. I think he has a good heart. Okay, so that's good. I don't think he's like, he wouldn't get in there and get all power hungry. But I don't know. I mean, there's so many other celebrities that I can think of that,
like
that have, like Tom Hanks or Oprah or, you know, like, I don't know. There's so many other, like, even the guys who always play the president in the movies, right? Like, there's
Morgan Freeman for president.
Morgan Freeman, right? Dennis Haysbert always plays them in movies, right? I don't know. It'd be hard for me to take it all that seriously, but why don't you start run for governor first? Let's do that. You know who wants to run for governor, by the way?
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey, then Texas.
In governor of Texas?
Yeah.
And Caitlyn Jenner's thinking about running.
I have heard that.
You jabronis hit the jackpot.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, my God. Can you imagine a rock at the, State of the Union address?
Lay it the smack it down.
Lindsay, you love wrestling. Would you consider voting for The Rock?
Oh, yeah. I just want to hear him give speeches.
I would 100% vote for The Rock. Remember, he is a genuinely good human. Was it like a month or two ago when I sent an email out to some people and he personally recorded a 2-minute long video for my friend who is battling cancer. And I thought that was the nicest thing in the world for him to just do something like that just for the sake of doing it. And so everyone says he's a genuinely nice person. And I think that in addition to like him being smart and being a good leader, I think the country could use a leader with like some empathy and stuff, you know?
It'll be interesting to see.
What The Rock is cooking.
Yeah. You know, he would ask his opponent during the debates, and he'd go, sir, what is your name again? And the guy would go, my name is, it doesn't matter what your name is. That's what he does, how he cuts
That's
you off,
awesome.
John Ireland. He's the best.
Oh, man.
I would want it just for the campaign.
That's right.
All right, Ramona, you got all one right. more?
Yeah, I got one more. I'll do my silly one since you guys took my 49ers question. Okay. There's a pending lawsuit against Sacha Baron Cohen from former GOP Senate candidate Roy Moore, okay? And in one of the letters that was recently submitted by Roy Moore's lawyer, this is a $95 million defamation lawsuit, by the way. The lawyer is basically saying that Sacha Baron Cohen was looking down during a Zoom call during a recent appearance on Showtime, okay? My question is not really about this whole lawsuit. It's more, how the hell does Sacha Baron Cohen only have this one lawsuit pending against him with as many stunts as he's pulled on people?
He probably has more than one, but a lot of things have probably been thrown. Like, a lot of people thought Rudy Giuliani would sue him for the last movie.
Seriously.
But I think a lot of people realize, like you talked about earlier, Ramona, it's hard to prove this in court. You have to, like, prove that Sacha Baron Cohen intentionally went out to embarrass or hurt you, and that's a hard thing to prove, right?
It's hard. I mean, it's so interesting though, because the thing I laid out, knowingly false. So yeah, he's acting, okay, but and the actual malice standard. So there is actual malice because you're trying to make people look bad and you're trying to make them look stupid. I don't know. I don't know how he gets away with it.
I think if you're a public figure, can't you do things? People can't sue you because you're a public figure?
Yeah, it may have something to do with that.
Something like that.
It's harder
to prove. Could you ever do what Sacha Baron Cohen does?
No. He's, by the way, the way he stays in character is
unbelievable.
Stunning. In all those Borat movies, they're so uncomfortable to watch because of the way he is. All right, that's it for Fast Track. By the way, listen to this, Ramona. I just got a text from the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned earlier the injury report for tonight Charlotte. Anthony Davis, Jared Dudley, and LeBron are all out. Andre Drummond, Marc Gasol, Alphonso McKinney are questionable. Kyle Kuzma, Wes Matthews, Dennis Schroeder all have injuries, are probable. Now add Markieff Morris to the questionable list with
a
left ankle sprain. You know what that means? It's TNT night.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor Norton Tucker's going to take over the game. What do you think, Michael? Career high tonight? His career high is 17. Is he going north of 17
he
tonight?
He better try to get 30 tonight with all those guys missing.
Yeah.
Him and Caldwell Pope will probably go for 30 each.
Well, we'll hope so. All right. Coming up next, Brian Windhorst is going to join us. We'll get Wendy in here, talk a little NBA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Ramona Shelburne is in for Mace, and now we get to talk to Brian Windhorst, who covers the NBA for ESPN. Always jump at the chance to talk to Wendy. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, so let me start with this. I loved the idea of the play-in tournament when they announced it. I think it keeps more teams in the picture. I think it's exciting. I'm a I'm a Lakers guy, so I'm worried that my team is going to slide into the play-in tournament because of the schedule and no LeBron and AD. But that's beside the thing I want to ask you, Brian. I actually think that the reason they adopted it has worked. It's driven up interest, and a lot of teams are going for it. Mark Cuban came out today and said it was a huge mistake to do it in a COVID season with a compressed schedule, and he might have a point with all the injuries. Is Mark Cuban right, in your opinion?
I don't know. We haven't seen the play-in tournament yet. How do we know that it doesn't turn out to be a brilliant idea that creates a lot of drama in the last 10 days of the regular season and then creates this really cool sort of single elimination feel for a couple of days in the after season? How do we know it's a failure? I mean, he could be right. I do think that there's an uptick in injuries that I can at least attribute partially to the pack schedule, but he loses credibility because A, he voted for it, and B, his team is in seventh place right now. If his team was in 10th mm-hmm. place
yeah.
or 11th place, I think it'd be a little bit easier to understand. I mean, he could be right, but I can't take the advice. I can't take the position of somebody in seventh place and feel like it's, it's an all-encompassing opinion.
Right, you know, I think the big news in the NBA last night and probably for the next week or so at least is going to be the impact that Jamal Murray's knee injury has on the Nuggets. How devastating is this for them, and what does it do to the Western Conference playoff standings?
Momo, they thought they had a chance to win it. Mm-hmm. They really did. And if you've watched them play over the last couple of weeks, you could see why. I've said this a few times. It kind of reminded me of 2004. Laker fans will remember, not fondly, when the Pistons traded for Rasheed Wallace at midseason. And it's not to say that Aaron Gordon is Rasheed Wallace, but what happened with that Pistons team is that when Rasheed came in, it solidified everyone's roles, and they blossomed in those roles, and they went from being a very good team to a great team. The Nuggets were looking like that. Bringing in Aaron Gordon, who's a really good defender, took some defensive pressure off Michael Porter, gave them another option offensively, gave them incredible length. Their defense improved, and all of a sudden they go on an 8-game win streak. And I don't know if they would have been able to put it together, but what you lose in Jamal Murray, as we saw in the playoffs last year, is a guy who can take a game that they shouldn't have and deliver it to his team. I don't know if it'll really affect the win-loss of the Nuggets for the rest of the regular season. I mean, Monty Morris is one of the better backup point guards in the league. They're still going to be very good, but they lost a difference-making star player. They lost a guy that in a 2-2 series, game five, fourth quarter, tight game, he could make four or five plays for you and carry you home. And Nikola Jokic, the way he plays, they're one of the best pick-and-roll tandems in the league. And if you look at the numbers, as great as Jokic has been, when he plays without Murray, his effectiveness and the team's effectiveness drops dramatically. Mm. The bookmakers know this. Yesterday, the Nuggets were 10-1 or 12-1 to win the title. Right now, they're 100-1.
Oh, wow.
And that just sort of tells you what the market thinks of this injury. And if you watch the Nuggets players after the game last night, they knew. I mean, when you tear your ACL, they can manipulate it. And they don't always 100% know, but they have a pretty good idea. They knew what the status was, and they were hoping against hope that the MRI would prove it wrong. But they knew last night, you could tell.
Brian Windhorst joins us. Brian, the Lakers have obviously had unprecedented injuries. The reason that they won the title last year was because of LeBron and Anthony Davis. In your opinion, regardless of where they finish in the West, are they still the team to beat, or because of the injuries, is that no longer the case?
They're the team to beat if LeBron and AD are healthy. I don't know if they are. I mean, I think they've done a really good job of keeping their head above water. This road trip that they've had, you know, to squeeze out three wins. And, I mean, you know, they should win tonight. Charlotte is missing four starters in tonight's game. I know it's the end of the trip. They got to get this one. And, you know, they go 4-3 on this trip. It's a tremendous job to keep their head above water. And their defense, I mean, one of the things that a coach's number one responsibility is to motivate his team to play defense. It's one of the hardest things to do. Frank Vogel has routinely been able to motivate these guys and had good schemes and game plans. They have a championship DNA with that defense. If AD and LeBron are healthy, and that's an if, I don't know. I don't know if they know. Then you're going to see a very difficult to beat them 4 out of 7. I'm more worried about AD, this injury now. I know that they specifically avoided trying to put a timeline on it, but we are now looking at 3+ months, and there was nobody who was saying that when he first got hurt. And it's an Achilles situation, and so he's going to be conservative, and I understand it. And that, to me, is the biggest X factor, I would argue, in the entire league right now. How is Anthony Davis going to play when he comes back? That could determine the championship.
Hey, Brian, you know, I heard you talking about this on the Hoop Collective podcast the other day. How many games does Joel Embiid have to play for him to be right up there as an MVP? Like, I think he's played enough. I think if the Sixers win the East, which they're in pretty good position to do now, I think I'm going to vote for Embiid. They were 6 last year, right? And he's had one of the great seasons, but he has missed 18 games. Zach Lowe has just as strong a take that he's going to vote for Nikola Jokic. I would have said LeBron and James Harden would have been up there, but I think LeBron's probably going to have missed too many games by the time he comes back, right?
LeBron missing 4 to 6 weeks in this season probably takes him out of it. I don't like when injuries take players out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Embiid missed 18 games. Well, he did have the knee injury. But quite a few of those games were because he's not playing back-to-back. I think he played his first back-to-back of the season just within the last week. I don't know if you saw the game in Dallas last night. I defy you to watch that game and tell me he's not an MVP.
Yeah.
He had, Brian, I think, 35 or 36.
I saw it.
I agree with everything you guys are saying, but this sounds ridiculous, but is it possible he could be the MVP and be second team all NBA? Because what do you do with Jokic? Jokic has played in every game, Brian, and isn't he the first team all NBA center?
I think Embiid is.
Well, whoever you vote for MVP, you're going to vote for first team all NBA center too. I'll tease. It's not going to be my story, but Tim Bontemps from ESPN, you know, he does these straw polls. And I'm going to tell you, these straw polls, he actually talks to people who are going to vote for the award. Mm-hmm. He doesn't talk to 15 of them. He talks to like 90 to 100, and there's about 100 voters. He's got an update coming tomorrow. I'm not going to give it away. But I'm going to tell you that my vote in the straw poll was Joel Embiid. But, you know, I do think that it's going to be difficult. There are people who view the 18 games as too many. I don't at all. I've seen what this guy can do. I respect that he plays both ends of the court. And that's not against Jokic. It's not a statement against Jokic.
Yeah.
Jokic has got a very, very strong case. And but Jokic, all the other candidates have been injured. So should Jokic, how do you assign, do you say Jokic should win it because he's been able to get healthy? He's been able to stay healthy? I agree. And LeBron's talked about this dozens of times, that one of the most important abilities is availability. I mean, how many times does he say he's prides himself on being available to his teammates? So, you know, LeBron is he would probably argue that Jokic does have that special nod because of the fact that he's been available every single game. But I'm viewing at who I think the most valuable player is, and I don't think that if you miss 3 weeks because of an injury, like Embiid did, it should disqualify.
But Brian, it's going to be a weird year because so many people have missed time. In other words, like we're going to do our all NBA teams next hour, and I would still I'm biased, but I would still put LeBron first team all NBA, even though he's missed all these games. I'd put him ahead of Kawhi because I think Kawhi's only played 5 more games than LeBron. Giannis has missed games. You talked about Embiid and how many games he's missed. My guess is Harden's going to be on one of these 3 All-NBA teams, and he's missed a ton of games. Isn't it just going to be one of those years where missing games is going to be part of the equation?
In my view, yes. You know, I said I voted for Embiid. You know, I voted for Embiid in our straw poll. And because, you know, they're the number one seed in the East right now. And the guys, you know, he's probably not going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but he's going to be, you know, probably first team all deep. Well, he'll maybe Gobert will be there. But he's one of the best defensive players in the league, and he's absolutely been killing it offensively. I mean, you know, he had 35 or 36 last night in Dallas in a great win. What if he has another game like that? You know, their game tomorrow against the Nets, and I realize that their Nets aren't going to be whole, but that's one of the most important regular season games of the year tomorrow night. Mm. And he's routinely put up huge performances. You know, again, it's not against Jokic, but right now Embiid is my MVP. It's not by a country mile, but I thought about it before I cast my straw poll. And I'm going to tell you right now, whoever Bontemps reveals is the lead in that MVP thing, you can pretty much take it to the bank, because those are the real voters, and I don't see how things are going to change that much going down the stretch, especially with Jamal Murray getting hurt. Jokic's case is probably not, you know, if the Nuggets lose some games here, it's not going to be penalizing to Jokic. Mm-hmm. You know, if you voted for them when they're in fourth place, would you not vote for them when they're in sixth, if that's what happened? You know, so I'm telling you, when that story comes out tomorrow, who's ever leading at this point, you could probably make a bet and feel pretty good about it.
Brian, thank you for doing this, man. We always appreciate your time coming on. I know you had a ton of media today, so thanks for doing this, and we'll talk again soon.
Mm. Have a good day, guys.
All right, there is Brian Windhorst from ESPN still to come. Today is a pretty big anniversary of something. We'll cover that next. Lindsay's got Radio Tinder, and as I mentioned at the top of the hour, Ramona, Michael, and I will give you our all-NBA teams, and I guarantee you they will all three be different.
Yeah, this was a really hard assignment you gave me.
Yeah, and Michael and I tried to do it the other night. Yeah, Michael and I tried to do it the other night, and every time one of us would say, okay, I got it, the other guy would throw out a name. We go, oh, wait, we got to put him in.
All-NBA teams that make all the sense. You guys just do what I do.
No. How about that for an answer? All right, coming.
Indisputable, Ramona. You'll hear it.
All right, that's coming up at the top of the hour.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, today it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace, and Michael Thompson's hanging out with us because we have Lakers-Hornets tonight from Charlotte, and that's tip-off at 5 o'clock, Spock and the Jock, 3:30 on the pregame show. Michael, you still there? Did we lose him, Jorge? Okay. I wanted to pass along this piece of information, Ramona. I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet Slick Leonard, Bobby Slick Leonard, who is an icon in Indianapolis. Mm. He was a radio color guy to our friend Mark Boyle. He has Michael's job for the Pacers, worked it well into his 80s. He just passed away at the age of 88. This will be a huge loss for the Pacers, and I'm sure Frank Vogel will say something about it when he does his pregame media. Slick actually coached the Pacers briefly and was very good to Frank when Frank got his first head coaching job in Indiana.
Yeah, he's a legend back there.
Yeah, and was super nice to Michael and I. Basketball in Indiana is sacred. It's, you know, they do a pregame ceremony where they say in 50 other states tonight there might be a basketball game. Or in 49 other states, this is Indiana, and then everybody comes to their feet. It's crazy. So he was a huge part of that, and he'll be greatly missed. Michael, you met Slick?
Oh yeah, met Slick many times, and I always thanked them for doing me a huge favor, because when I was coming out in '78 in the draft, they had the number one pick, and they traded it to Portland. And I did not want to go from Minneapolis to Indianapolis and stay in all that cold weather. I had enough of cold weather for 4 years. So when I heard they traded my rights to Portland, I was thrilled to get out of the Midwest and head out to the Pacific Northwest. Because even though it's not, you know, Orange County weather up in Portland, at least when it does snow there, it's only like for a week and that's it.
Hey, Michael, do you know what happened 5 years ago tonight?
Yeah, 60 points that'll never be achieved again by anyone in the NBA. You know,
here's,
they say never
here's
say
what
never.
It sounded, Michael, here's what it sounded like at the end of that game that you and I called on April 13th, 2016.
Hmm.
Kobe's second free throw, good. He has 60. The Lakers lead by three. Here we go. Utah needs a three to tie it. Hayward driving down the middle all the way to the rim. Lay it up, no good. Rebound grab. Kobe's got it. Length of the court pass to Clarkson. Clarkson at the rim. Slam dunk. Game in the refrigerator. And the Lakers are going to win on Kobe's last night. He's going to score 60. And I don't believe what I just saw.
That was, Michael, for my money, as much fun as you and I have had doing a game ever.
Yeah, that was equal to – the atmosphere in the building was equal to a game seven against the Celtics in 2010. That was how electric that was in that building. Ramona, weren't you there?
I was there. That was – like, I think it was the most fun basketball game I've ever been to. I mean, fun.
Yeah. Right. I sent out a picture.
Other games that were better, but this was fun.
Ramona, I sent out a picture. I went up to the top of there's a deck where they have private parties at the top of Staples Center that overlooks Chickhorn Court and the Star Plaza. And I went up and took a picture before the game, and it was more crowded, Michael, than it had been for any finals game in the 20 years that Staples has been open. The Lakers team that year was bad, but it didn't matter. Everybody came to pay tribute to Kobe. And, Michael, you and I kept saying during the game, well, maybe he'll get 40.
Yeah.
And then we thought, well, he wouldn't get 50.
No.
And then when he got 60, it was like
out
of a movie.
His teammates bought into it. Kobe would pass the ball to his teammate, and his teammate, Julius Randle, the guys, and would say, no, you take it. This is your night. And they just basically got out of his way, and Kobe was exhausted by the fourth quarter because, you know, it took a lot of energy to get 50 shots up. And you remember how he started off the game, Ireland? I was like, oh, no, this is going to be a horrible night. He started out 0-for-7, remember? And then he started to get hot.
And we used to do a thing called the third chair where we would bring somebody in to do the game with Michael and I. And on that night, there were so many famous people in the stands.
Yeah.
Do you remember? We gave a microphone and a headset to Greg Bergman, who was producing Mason in Ireland at the time. Now Greg is our assistant PD and he produces Sedano's show. But Greg would he kept coming to me and I kept saying, just go walk up to anybody. They'll talk because it's Kobe.
Right.
And he got Jack Nicholson that night. He got Derek Fisher, Snoop, Shaq. I mean, like every 10 minutes we were going to somebody famous. And with about 6 minutes to go in the game, we turned that off and just called the game. And you and I thought, well, there's no way the Lakers are going to win. They're down like 15. And not only did they win, but Kobe scored all the points.
Yeah.
He went absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that'll ever be a – Kobe was 39 at the time?
36.
But nobody will ever score 60 on their final night of their NBA career.
I can't imagine, I don't know, maybe Steph could do it when he's 38 or whatever, and they just want to give him the ball and tell him shoot 33s or something like that. Maybe someone like him will do it.
Well, you know what that night was so nuts, okay? You remember at the end where he gives the speech?
And drops the mic, Mamba out.
And he says, Mamba out. You know, within minutes – there were Mamba Out t-shirts available on Kobe Bryant's website, okay? And I was talking to his manager at the time, okay, one of his – I don't want to name the name, okay? But that was all planned. Like, that wasn't the idea – like, the whole speech wasn't planned. But the idea that he was going to say Mamba Out at the end and then drop the mic, totally choreographed. The t-shirts were ready to go. 3 seconds later on the website.
I'll replay it maybe today.
so
but,
great.
But that is maybe the best. Michael and I are friends with all the guys who produce Backstage Lakers. And in particular, the executive producer is a buddy of ours named Michael Koger. That is the best Backstage Lakers I've ever seen. I've got it saved on my DVR. I'm sure they'll run it at some point today. It's a half an hour devoted to that night and the behind the scenes and the pictures and on Spectrum Sportsnet. If you haven't seen it, track it down. It is... Michael, a lot of our calls are in that night because the radio calls are a little more descriptive than the TV calls, so they used us a lot. And it's just so fun to go relive. And that was exactly 5 years ago today. Okay, coming up next, Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got questions for us. And then at the top of the hour, Ramona, Michael, and I will try and pick the All-NBA teams. That should be fun. Remember, Game of Games at 3:15, Ramona's game today. That's always an adventure. And then at 3:30, we hand it off to Sliwa, Spock and the Jock, Sliwa and Michael with Lakers pregame. Tonight, Lakers in Charlotte, tipping off at 5 o'clock. Mason in Ireland, 7:10 ESPN. All right, let's get right to it. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. Usher became a trending topic on Twitter Monday after he was accused of tipping with fake money at a strip club. Huh. A dancer at Sapphire Las Vegas Gentlemen's Club claimed that she was paid in Ush Bucks, fake bills with Usher's face on them, after dancing for the R&B singer. The post went viral, and Usher got killed on social media, but it turns out it was all just a misunderstanding. Apparently, Usher or some people from his entourage did throw some fake Ush Bucks on stage for dancers while they were at the club to promote his upcoming Las Vegas residency. But he also tipped quite generously in real dollars as well, according to the club's marketing director. So even though he did apparently end up tipping with real money, does the dancer still have a reason to be upset? Swipe left or swipe right?
I think it's a bad look to be throwing play money on stage at a strip club.
Exactly.
But Lindsay, shockingly, I'm not a strip club expert. And strangely, either is Michael, even though he was an NBA player. Michael, didn't you tell me you never went to a strip club the whole time you were in the NBA? Or did he leave?
Yeah, I think you did say that.
Yeah.
But I believe that about Michael.
Yeah. I think that... Ramona, it's not a good look to be throwing even Monopoly money or Ush Bucks or anything else in a pandemic.
Now that I've started
especially.
To watch Better Call Saul, John, this made me think of one of those early episodes where Saul's trying to like make it, at the time he's Jimmy McGill, okay? And he's trying to make it as a lawyer, and he gets this client who is all fired up, wants to hire him for $1 million, right? To help him secede from the United States, like carve out his own little country. And he's like, I'm your man. I can do that. $1 million? Yeah. Okay. I'll work day and night on this. And the guy goes over to get the big trunk full of money for him. I can pay you today. How about half now and half when we win, or half later? Okay, sure. And he comes back with a whole different set of bills that are completely fake.
Right.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
With his face on it. Now, you can't. That's horrible.
Yeah, imagine being a dancer, knowing that you just went through the whole pandemic thing. You couldn't work for all these months. You're at the club dancing, and then a really famous person, Usher, comes in with all these guys, and you're on stage, and you're dancing, and they're throwing all this money at you, and it looks like real money. They're like, it looks like real bills, but just with his face on it. So you're dancing and you're just kind of like glancing at it, thinking you're making all this money. And then you find out after it's like, oh, that's fake. That's promotional for his upcoming residency. Yeah, here, we'll still tip you a couple $100, but all that money you just got, it's fake. I would be ticked.
I would too. Yeah, I think that that's a bad look for Usher. What's the next one?
All right, Brett Favre said that he wants athletes and leagues to keep politics out of sporting events. The legendary NFL quarterback was recently asked about the politics intersecting with pro sports in an interview with Andrew Klavan of the Daily Wire. And here's a clip of what he said.
And I think both sides, for the most part, want to see it just remain about the sport, not about politics. At least that's my interpretation. I know when I turn on a game, I want to watch a game. I want to watch players play and teams win, lose, come from behind. I want to watch all the important parts of the game, not what's going on outside of the game. And I think the general fan feels the same way.
So do you guys agree with Favre that most fans, not you guys, but most fans in general want to keep the politics out of sports? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, that's kind of the edict of ESPN. When Jimmy Pitaro took over ESPN, he said, we're going to do whatever we can to keep politics out of sports and just present the games. But Ramona, that's become impossible. There's too much intersection now. I don't think anybody's looking to inject politics into sports. But, like, you know, yesterday was a great example. There was that shooting in Minnesota. It wasn't appropriate to play games yesterday in Minneapolis. I think they did a good job by postponing the baseball game, the hockey game, and the NBA game. So sometimes you can't avoid it.
You know, it's something we struggle with all the time of, like, how much do we talk about politics? How much do we talk about COVID stuff? How much do we talk about all the really serious things that are going on in the world that intersect with sports? And I always wonder, because, you know, I feel like so much of why people like to listen to the show or what we talk about on air is they just want to escape from all that. You can find that stuff everywhere else. But in the times where it does intersect, I just think you're really missing something if you ignore that. Now, you have to have some kind of sort of internal sensor going off where it says, okay, let's just get back to the games. Let's get back to, you know. Like, we don't have to always, doesn't have to be on 100 all the time, right? Doesn't have to be 100. Like, but I just think you're doing your community, you're doing the world a disservice if you just pretend it's not happening. So there's some kind of, and I also don't like the idea of silencing people. If athletes want to speak out, I don't think we should be telling them what they can and can't talk about.
Lindsay, what do you think?
I feel like, I personally don't have a problem with it for all the reasons that you guys just said, but in regards to what Brett Favre said about most fans, just thinking of people like, you know, my friends back home and my family and stuff like that, like, I feel like generally that's what a lot of people, at least people that I know, like, tend to say, and that sports, you know, just like the movies and stuff like that, it's meant to be an escape from reality. And while I think that with times are changing and you can't avoid it sometimes, but I think that there's like that older generation of people who are struggling with that notion because they do want it just like, oh, we never talked about politics and sports or whatever they want to say back in the old days. So I think that, you know, the older people, they're just going to have to live with it, I guess.
All right, Lindsay, what's next?
All right, last one here. Given his depth and commitment to a number of different issues, it's easy to understand why Kyrie Irving sometimes needs a mental health day from playing basketball, which the Nets have routinely given him. The point guard was able to take a few games off earlier this NBA season for personal reasons, and then more recently missed 3 games for the same reason. Some might commend the superstar athlete for paying attention to his mental health, but Brandon Tierney, co-host of the Tiki and Tierney radio show, is not one of them. Here is what he said.
Every couple of weeks, the guy says, I'm not playing. I'm not feeling right. I need a day off. My mind's not right. And you know what? That's not acceptable. It's not acceptable for fans. Now, the league might accept it, mm-hmm. and the Nets certainly accept the Teak. But at some point, and I'm not trying to sound overly callous or insensitive or Neanderthal, I get there are real issues in this world that far supersede basketball. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I get that. But the guy's job description, literal job description, is to play for the Brooklyn Nets. And yeah. Too often, he don't think playing.
Do you guys agree with Brandon Tierney? Swipe left or swipe right?
John, let me take this one first, because I actually know what's going on here with Kyrie, and I can't. I'm not at liberty to say exactly what it is, but there okay. is something here. And I understood that's the same take a lot of people had the other day when they first heard he's sitting out. It depends on, you know, whatever. I get where that comes from. And I think that's part of the issue, which is Kyrie has done this so many times that it's kind of hard to know when is real and when is just he needs a day off. He needs some time. But in this case, He has a very legitimate reason, and the team is aware, his teammates are aware, and if and when he decides to share that reason, everyone will understand and be fine with it.
That doesn't surprise me that he has a real issue. I'll talk about it in a broader sense. If I was on his team, if I was on the Nets, Kyrie is an unbelievable player. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Michael thinks he might be the best one-on-one player in the league
I've ever seen.
But Michael, I would wonder in the back of my mind, can we count on
exactly him? If he needs time off, if he needs it, because whatever he's going through, personal issues, okay, take your time. But you're right, Aaron, you said it. You don't know if you can count on him with the playoff star, because he may take off again. And if he has to, he has to. I'm not going to judge the guy. If he's got issues, he's got to take care of, go take care of whatever you got to take care of, but you got to be prepared, but he might not be there.
So that's the issue, Lindsay, is can you count on him you know, in those moments when you need him. Because when the playoffs start and it all matters, Kyrie's the type of guy who can swing not only games but series. He's that good.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to wait and see if he makes it. Speaking of Kyrie, will he be on any of our All-NBA teams? It is the hardest year to pick All-NBA. Here's how it works. You get three teams, first team, second team, third team. And these players get bonuses and are eligible for more money if they appear on one of these three teams.
Some of them qualify for super max contracts if they make it.
So I texted Michael and Ramona early today and I said, all right, 3 o'clock today, all NBA, figure it out. And Ramona's already telling me that she's struggling. Michael and I tried.
Oh, no.
Michael and I tried to do this during the game the other night. And Mike, is it fair to say this is the most difficult choices we've had to make in 10 years?
Yeah,
easy.
It's the most competitive, but my top 15, you guys will not argue with.
Okay, coming up next, All-NBA, Michael, Ramona, me, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.